Hello and welcome to Tales of the Raven. In this episode, we're going to look at Andrew Cross, the man who was Frankenstein. According to scientists, life on Earth began around 4,000 million years ago, when the world was a young but forbidding planet. The turbulent atmosphere in those times was a mixture of steam, nitrogen, methane, ammonia, carbon, and many other gases. But one gas was absent, oxygen. This gas is produced by plant life and did not exist in a free state before the arrival of life. So how exactly did life on Earth begin? Well, established science holds that life came into being in an entirely accidental way. The dead matter floating about in the oceans of the early Earth supposedly consisted of various random molecules that collided with one another to form by chance a specific molecule which could reproduce copies of itself. But there are problems with this theory. Protein chains, organic compounds containing the elements carbon, hydrogen, oxygen and nitrogen, consist of subunits called amino acids, and there are 20 possibilities for each link in the protein chain. The French biophysicist Le Comte Denon has calculated that if a new combination was tried every millionth of a second, it would take a period longer than the life of the Earth to form the right type of protein chain. Nevertheless, scientists are adamant that life began in the world's primeval ocean soup. In 1952, it occurred to an American graduate student, Stanley Lloyd Miller, that an experiment to reproduce an environment conducive to life in primordial times could be set up in the laboratory. He put methane, ammonia, hydrogen and water in a flask and boiled the contents for days, occasionally discharging artificial lightning via two electrodes through the mixture to stimulate the ultraviolet radiation from the sun. Miller observed that the mixture in the flask quickly darkened. After a week, he analysed the solution that had formed in the flask and found that, in addition to rudimentary substances lacking in nitrogen atoms, he had glycine and alanine, two simple amino acids. There were also minute traces of more complicated amino acids. Miller was surprised that the compounds had formed so quickly and in such a large quantity. The fact that Miller had created the building blocks of life in a laboratory generated shockwaves that elated the scientific community and upset the religious authorities. But 115 years before Miller's experiment, a 53-year-old Englishman named Andrew Cross had carried out a similar experiment. Cross's experimentation allegedly produced no mere amino acids but the formation of a totally new type of insect. Andrew Cross was born into a wealthy family on June 17, 1784. He was a child prodigy who mastered ancient Greek at the age of 8. When he was 9, he was sent to Dr. Sayre's school at Bristol, where he was captivated by science, and around the age of 12, he became obsessed with the new science of electricity. Young Cross was a notorious joker and often wired up the metal doorknobs of the classroom doors to a huge accumulator in order to give the teachers an electric shock whenever they entered the class. Electricity was to become a lifetime obsession, and when the young science buff inherited the family estates and fortune upon the death of his mother in 1805, he used a substantial sum of his newly acquired wealth to set up a well-equipped laboratory at Fine Court, his family seat, where he was to perform a series of bizarre experiments. The isolated country mansion in the Quantock Hills of Somerset soon gained an eerie reputation. The locals were sure Cross was an evil wizard because of the way he was able to capture the powers of lightning by conducting the bolts through a network of copper cables over a mile in length that radiated from the Fine Court laboratory like a gigantic web. Whenever a storm raged over the Quantock Hills, the superstitious locals would watch the forks of lightning dancing about on the copper cables. To the Somerset yokels, Squire Cross had to be in league with the devil. Yet unknown to them, Cross was tapping the huge voltages from the lightning flashes to power his electrical experiments. The scientist was intrigued by the various types of crystals that are formed when an electrical current is passed through certain mineral solutions. The results of this pioneering experimental work were written in a notebook, which includes an entry from 1837, recording a dramatic incident that has never been explained. The entry reads, "In the course of my endeavours to form an artificial minerals by a long continued electric action on fluids holding in solutions such substances as were necessary to my purpose, I had recourse to every variety of contrivance that I could think of. Amongst others, I constructed a wooden frame which supported a Wedgwood funnel within which rested a quart basin on a circular piece of mahogany. When this basin was filled with fluid, a strip of flannel wetted with the same was suspended over the side of the basin and inside the funnel, which, acting as a siphon, conveyed the fluid out of the basin through the funnel in successive drops. These drops fell into a smaller funnel of glass placed beneath the other, and which contained a piece of somewhat porous red oxide from Vesuvius. This stone was kept constantly electrified. On the 14th day from the commencement of this experiment, I observed, through the lens of a few small whitish excrescences or nipples projecting from about the middle of the electrified stone. On the 18th day, these projections enlarged and stuck out 7 or 8 filaments, each of them longer than the hemisphere on which they grew. On the 26th day, these appearances assumed the form of a perfect insect, standing erect on a few bristles which formed its tail. On the 28th day, these little creatures moved their legs. After a few days, they detached themselves from the stone and moved about at pleasure." Cross was obviously amazed at the incredible outcomes of his experiment, and he tried in vain to find a rational explanation that would account for the strange insect. He immediately repeated the experiment and again recorded the outcome in his notebook. After many months' action and consequent formation of certain crystalline matters, I observed similar excretions with those before described at the edge of the fluid in every carbonate of potassium and the metallic arsenic, and in due time the whitish appearances were developed into insects. In my first experiment I had made use of flannel, wood and a volcanic stone. In the last, none of these substances were present. But Cross still could not accept what he was seeing. The existence of the new mites, or Acari as they are called, seemed to run contrary to the laws of biology. Determined to get to the bottom of the mite mystery, Cross carried out the experiment yet again and later wrote, "I had omitted to insert within the bulb of the retort a resting place for these Acari. They are always destroyed if they fall back into the fluid from which they have emerged. It is strange that in a solution eminently caustic and under an atmosphere of oxyhydrogen gas, one single Acarus should have made its appearance." Cross wrote a detailed report of his bizarre discovery and sent it to the Electrical Society in London. Although the report was sceptically received, W. H. Weeks, a respected experimenter, was chosen by the Electrical Society to repeat the Cross experiment. Weeks was much more careful than Cross at setting up the experiment. He thoroughly sterilised all of the lab equipment and worked under stringent quarantine-like conditions. News of the Cross experiment broke as Weeks worked. A newspaper in the west of England published an account of it, and soon the news agencies of Britain and the rest of Europe were running the story. Then the results of the Weeks experiment were announced. Weeks too had produced the strange insects. The reclusive Cross suddenly found himself in the eye of a hurricane of unwanted publicity. The mites he had created were named Acarus crossi in his honour, and the creator scientist was hailed as a genius by many of his colleagues. But the religious authorities and the ignorant hoi polloi were outraged by the blaspheming Cross, regarding him as a meddling devil who had set himself up as a rival to God. When Cross returned to Fine Court, the locals threw stones at him, killed his livestock and set fire to his crops. The local reverend, Philip Smith, who incited much of the trouble, even conducted a service of exorcism on the country estate. On July 6, 1855, the controversial scientist died after suffering a paralytic seizure. His last words were, "The utmost extent of human knowledge is but comparative ignorance." Even today, scientists cannot explain the way the Akari that were apparently created by Cross. And what's more, no scientist is even willing to reproduce the fascinating 19th century experiment. Thank you for listening to Tales from the Raven. If you enjoyed this episode, please tune in next time. Thank you.